Father God, I just want to pray for Tracy as she reads your word to us. May we hear what you want us to hear from that. And Father, as Jacob comes to unpack it and speak to us, I just pray that you will speak through him into our hearts so that as we leave, we will know what you wanted to say to us and we will carry it with us through the week. Amen.
This evening's reading comes from Mark, and I'm starting in chapter 2, verse 23, and reading through to chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked round at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good evening. I know everyone said it already, but it is a bit hot. I was actually wearing shorts earlier, and I thought I could keep my shorts on to preach. I just couldn't quite bring myself to it. So you got me in jeans today. Well, as you probably tell from the reading, today is all about Sabbath. And Sabbath, I think, oftentimes for Christians, is something of a slippery topic. It just sort of sits there, but we don't always know what to do with it, or how to engage with it, or whether we should be engaging with it. There's so many follow-up questions. You know, does it have to be on a Sunday? What's allowed? What's not allowed? And so this is often a very tricky one. And what's interesting is, although this is a New Testament passage, and we're going to look at the New Testament passage, the passage that's really in mind here, that Jesus and the Pharisees have in mind, is the fourth commandment from the Ten Commandments, which is the commandment to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's at the absolute forefront of the Jewish mind. It's the bedrock of the Jewish faith. And so what I want us to do first is I want us to take a look at the Ten Commandments, so the fourth commandment as it is in Exodus 20, and then we're going to see what that tells us, because that gives us the added perspective of what Jesus does, how Jesus actually informs our understanding of Sabbath. And we get a much wider perspective of how radical some of these statements that Jesus is making really are. So I'm going to turn to Exodus 20. And what's interesting here is that the commandment to keep the Sabbath, there's a few things that are interesting about this command. One of them is that it's a positive command. So what I mean by that is it's a do command. So if you look at the first three commandments, for example, you have the first commandment, which is you shall not have any gods before the Lord. It's a negative, so do not do this thing. The second is you shall not make for yourself any idols. It's also a negative command, so that you don't do. And there's a third one, which is you shall not blaspheme. Again, a negative command. Then it switches here in verse 8 of Exodus 20, and it's a do command. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, this is interesting, because Sabbath, then, is not about, you know, tiptoeing, avoiding, making sure that you don't do certain things. Rather, more the special focus or the emphasis is that it is an active pursuit. Sabbath is something we should be actively pursuing and doing. That's tricky because, like I said, what does that mean? What does that look like? Is that the same for us as it was way back when this was written? What am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do? And so, interestingly, in addition to this being a positive command, it's also the longest command of the Ten Commandments. Now, I don't think that's because it's the most important commandment, but I do think it's the longest because God wants us to get this right. And so he provides a sufficient explanation to tell us what this means and how this is useful. And there's two things that I think this passage answers. I'm going to read it, the commandment. Firstly, I think it tells us what Sabbath is. And then I think it tells us why we do it, why we practice the Sabbath. So I'm just going to read the commandment here. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. What do we think of when you think of the Sabbath? What comes to mind when you think of Sabbath? This is an open question. I'm willing to take suggestions. I'm a little bit hot and tired. What comes to mind when you think of the Sabbath day? Does anything come to mind? Church, yeah, going to church. I often hear two answers, which is church and a day off. That's a big one. It's sort of like, you know, Sabbath day means maybe put your feet up, maybe go to church in the morning, put your feet up, watch TV, and maybe extroverts like go out and you know, go and spend time with their friends and, you know, go to a cafe or whatever it is, and introverts stay at home and like stream Netflix. I actually don't really know what introverts do, but it's probably something along those lines. But actually, all of those things are good things. They are good things. But what this text shows us is none of those things is enough to be considered a Sabbath. Because what happens in this little commandment here is there's this tension being held between Sabbath, which is the word literally means to stop, Sabbath and keeping holy, Sabbath and keeping holy, Sabbath and keeping holy. It's also about holiness and worship. There's somewhere else in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings 4, it talks about Sabbath as this day of worship. And so yes, it's about resting. It's about resting. But it's not just about resting. It's more than that. It's about resting in the presence and the love of God. And of course, the whole Christian life is a life dedicated to worship. But there is something about a specific day committed to resting in the presence and the love of God. And the other thing I think this tells us is, why do we Sabbath? I mean, it's so easy to make excuses for not taking a Sabbath. So I don't really think I need a Sabbath this week. I've just got so much on my schedule. My schedule does not permit me to take a Sabbath this week. It's just not reasonable. And it's so easy to make excuses to ditch a Sabbath. What's interesting is the reasoning that we have a Sabbath. This is what the text says. Because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Why do we have a Sabbath day? Why do we rest? And the answer is because God rested. Because God rested. Now that's really profound because it actually blows most of our excuses for not taking a Sabbath out of the water. I didn't feel like I needed a Sabbath this week. I was feeling good. I just didn't feel like I needed to take a day to rest and worship. And I didn't feel like I needed a Sabbath day. It's like God rested. It's like God didn't need a day off. Oh yeah, my schedule doesn't permit it. I've got so much on. I can't squeeze anything more in. It's like God rested. It's like, do we think God didn't have other things to be doing? This shows us that why are we resting? It's because God rested and he's invited us in to participate in what he's doing, to model his activity at creation when he rested. So that's what I think we learn from this commandment alone, that it's an active command. It's something we have to actively pursue. That it's, yes, it's resting, but it's about resting in the presence and the love of God. And also that why do we do it? Because God rested. Because God rested, and he's invited us to model him. And there's also something else. Well, I mean, it's very grateful that God has provided this long explanation telling us why to do it. But ultimately, many of the other commands in the Ten Commandments don't have an explanation. But we obey them anyway. Why do we do that? Because it's a command, and God says so. God, in his grace and in his mercy, has condescended to give us an explanation. But he doesn't need to. It's like when you're a kid, and if you were behaving well, and your parents told you to do something, you just did it because you're like little and they're big and they know how the world works and you don't. If you wanted to push your luck, right, you'd say, but why have I got to do that? And then you may have been faced with the dreaded, because I said so. And that works. And when God says so, that's enough. But in his grace, he does tell us why. It's because he wants us to participate with what he's doing in creation and resting on the seventh day. So now let's head over to the New Testament and we'll see how Jesus informs this understanding. I'm just going to quickly reread the end of Mark chapter 2 here. So one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. Okay, and his disciples walked along and they began to pick some heads of grain. It's a snack. Right? It's an afternoon snack for the disciples, really. And the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath?" Oh, hang on a second, we've just read the commandment, right? I don't read anything in there about picking the heads of grain. And of course, what they would do is, the Jews were so, they wanted to really caution you that you didn't break one of the Ten Commandments or one of the Jewish laws. So they put loads of other laws sort of around the edge to make sure you didn't accidentally break any of them. But they've gone so far, even the plucking the heads of grain is considered a law. But anyway, they say to Jesus, "Why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus tells them a story from the Old Testament to deal with this. But the main conclusion from this is what he says to him in verse 27. "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Now, Jesus is saying something here that's actually quite a big deal. This command that we've been obeying is more than just a command. The Sabbath is made for man. It's not just that we have to do Sabbath. It's a gift, and it's been made with us in mind and given to us. It's made for us. So it's no longer about the fact that, oh, I have to keep the Sabbath. Oh, I've got to practice Sabbath on Sunday. It's like, no, Jesus said no. It's the fact that we get to, right? That's the right attitude, that God has given us this as a gift. And the fact that it was made for us, that means that God, at the creation of the world, had our rest day in mind when he rested on the seventh day. That's how important it is to him that he would give us this gift and that we would find rest in him. That before Adam, before the foundation of the world, he already had this in mind for us. The Sabbath was made for man. We're not very good at taking it, though. I don't think we are, anyway. I think especially today, we live in a world of sort of chaos and constant busyness that I think largely we don't really know how to switch off on Sabbath. I've got, in my pocket, I've got one of these. I don't know how many. Can I get a show of hands? How many people have got a smartphone either in their pocket or in their bag right now? Yeah, okay, hang on. Keep your hand up if your phone has access to news and emails. Yeah, okay, you put your hands down. There's a lot of us, right? And none of those things are inherently bad. What it means is, though, I'm just constantly being stimulated and spoon-fed information. So if I want to, I've got social media, I can see what my friends are doing. I've got emails, I can see who's being in touch with me. I've got the news, I can see what's happening anywhere in the world at the touch of my fingertips. It's hard to overstate how radical a technological development that is. And the reason I mention it is because I think there's many reasons that we struggle to rest. But I think a really big one, and especially with younger generations coming up, is that we're constantly being stimulated, that we just don't know how to switch off. And so there's an irony that the very gift that Jesus is trying to offer, the one that we need so desperately, we don't know how to take it. So I'm going out, I'm meeting someone at like 6:30, and I get there at like 6:20. Oh no, I'm 10 minutes early. What's the first thing I do? I check my phone. Why do I do that? How awful would it be for me to just rest and wait like a normal person? But this is what's on the way.
And this has huge implications for not being able to rest and switch off. It's like if you wanted to go to work to check your emails, you had to, in your day, you had to wake up, you know, go have a shower, brush your teeth, have breakfast, get in the car, drive to work, get to work, turn your computer on, log in, load up the internet, sign into emails, and then you could see you'd been in touch with you, right? It's like I wake up, I roll over, I swipe up, and then all of a sudden, I don't need to be, the office is here. I'm in the office. I've just woken up. I'm in the office. And what that means is it's much harder to have any kind of separation between work life and rest. And so maintaining the Sabbath is so difficult. We're in a world that doesn't understand Sabbath. And this is a shame because Jesus is saying, here you go, this is a gift. This is from me to you, to rest and enjoy my presence, my love. And we just don't know how to switch off and rest. There's many different comparisons that you can make between our culture today and the culture of the Pharisees in the New Testament. Here's something. The Pharisees were too legalistic about the Sabbath, right? They were so intense. They had so many extra rules. Today, I'd say we've gone too far the other way. And so I think this is one of the only times you can get away with saying this. We could do with being a bit more like the Pharisees when it comes to Sabbath. Not all the way, right? It's like where the Pharisees are, like their level of intensity, and ours, somewhere in the middle, would be great. But just that we would take the Sabbath a bit more seriously. This God has poured out this gift. That we would see it as a gift. So then, of course, the question is, how do you make good use of the gift? That's what I want us to consider now. How do we make good use of that gift? Jesus is showing us that this isn't just a diligent, meaningless command. This is, and the Old Testament doesn't say that, but Jesus adds us this added dimension of how personal a gift this is. That God had individually your rest day. God had, as an individual, I'm speaking to all of you individually, God had your rest day in mind at the creation of the world. That's hard to get your head around. That's big. That's really big. So what we want to do is we want to make good use of the gift. Rather than how can we keep the Sabbath, I'd rather how can we make good use of this gift that God has given us. I think that's the right act. That's the right perspective. One question might be, how long have I been talking? Oh, that's all right. I've been going. That's all right. One question might be, when do we Sabbath? Does Sabbath have to be on a Sunday? And now I'm going to say, this is a bit controversial, I'm going to say here. I think if you can have your Sabbath on a Sunday, I think that's brilliant. I don't think you have to have your Sabbath on a Sunday. And actually, that's kind of self-evident in that many people that are working on team or volunteering today are here on a Sunday, right? Many people who work for the church take the Sabbath on a Friday or a Saturday or a Monday. God is like, he took his Sabbath on a Saturday. No, God just wants us to have a Sabbath. He's concerned that we are taking time to rest in his presence. It's not the day that matters so much as the rest and the worship. Okay. Next question is, what's allowed? What am I allowed to do on the Sabbath? This is a tricky one, I think. I think this is a hard one. I'm doing a Sabbath and I'm going to do something. Can I do that? My last day on the Sabbath day. First off, I'm not sure that's the right question anyway, but that's kind of the way that you're wired to think. Am I allowed to do this? Because the Bible's not clear. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what qualifies as work. And now, this is just my view. I think that might be deliberate. I think there is a degree of ambiguity that is helpful, because what we all consider work can be completely different. Do you consider cooking work? Maybe. Cleaning the house, but maybe you like cooking, maybe you like cleaning the house. For me, I don't like cooking. I find it very stressful. Everyone that I'm cooking for finds my cooking very stressful. So I'm more than happy to not cook on my Sabbath day. But maybe you like that. For me, the big one I was trying to figure out what to do with it was uni work. I just graduated on Saturday. I finished my degree now, so I don't have this dilemma anymore. But I was really... Do I kind of do uni work on my Sabbath day, or can I, you know, what about sermon preparation? Are they the same? And in the end, I decided, so I think there is an individual discernment here, because none of us consider work the same way. We have to figure this out. and discern how, this is about how we can make the best use of the gift. How can I make the best use of my gift? And I decided that I do a lot of uni work throughout the week, and although it is devotional, it's also very intense and academic. I decided I'm not going to do any uni work, but I am going to allow myself to prepare a sermon, because for me that's enriching. It's devotional. I'm growing. I'm learning in how I study for my sermons. I'm growing in knowledge and love of God, I pray. Which is a relief, because I was worried that I would be breaking the Sabbath by writing my sermon about the Sabbath on the Sabbath day. But I decided that was all right. So it's about discerning. What would you consider work? What works for you? And then the last thing I'd say on this, really, is that we do have to be flexible. I'm just going to read the next, this next part of the passage. Well, I'll summarize it. There's a man who has a crippled hand, and he needs healing. And Jesus wants to go heal him. But he's aware of what the Pharisees are thinking. They're thinking, you can't go healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus knows what they're thinking. He says, well, what's better to do on the Sabbath? Is it better to do good or to do evil? So they don't know how to respond to that. And Jesus heals the man's hand. Right. I might decide that on your Sabbath day, for example, you don't want to go on any long car journeys. You don't like that. It stresses you out. That's not restful for you. But then someone in your home falls ill and they need to go to the hospital. But you're not going to say, sorry, it's my Sabbath day. You're going to take them to the hospital. Why? Because it's always better to do good than to do evil on the Sabbath. So I think there's a degree of flexibility that is necessary here. So whether it's when you Sabbath, whether it's what you can and can't do, you know, whether it's what's the exception, it's about discerning for each of us individually, how can I make the best use of my gift to spend a day resting in God? What does that look like for me? I can't tell you what that looks like for you, because my Sabbath day probably looks quite a bit different. Of course, there are consistencies. We should all be spending the day resting, and we should all be spending the day worshipping or resting in the presence and love of God. I know someone who, I've been used permission to use this, because some of you might know who they are. I've got a good friend who worked for a newspaper agency for a long time, and she was doing really well in that, actually, but it was really tough. They pushed her really hard, and they made her work Sundays. And that was a real shame for her, because she loves church, and she wants to come to church. She wants to be involved in the community. She loves serving. But she didn't have a choice. She said, you know, you're working here. You've got to come to work on a Sunday. And she spent a long time wrestling with that. And in the end, she made a very big decision. She decided to resign. That is a big decision, especially when you're living independently. And eventually, she was really fortunate. She managed to find a job that would give her Sundays off. And the first thing she said when she applied to any jobs, when she went for the interview, she said, I'm not willing to work Sundays. They said, okay. And it's brilliant. She's more involved in church. She loves it. She's really stuck in. And I have noticed the change in her character. It's an incredible thing. And then, but again, this is really, we live in a secular world that doesn't understand Sabbath. Now all of a sudden they're prodding her. Oh, will you come just this one Sunday? We're really short this week. Would you come work on a Sunday? And then she actually got offered a whole job recently, a big promotion and a more. But they said she had to work Sundays, and she had to say, "This is hard because it's a great job. I'm not willing to compromise my rest day. I'm not willing to compromise my Sabbath. That's so hard." But I've seen the positive change in her character. It's a wonderful thing to see. There's a great guy called, as a theologian, called Walter Brueggemann. And he said, someone who practices the Sabbath properly lives all 7 days differently. It's like it's the center of your week. You spend a day resting in the presence and the love of God and filling up spiritually, being renewed in compassion and love of God. And then the next few days are about being sent into your week anew, refreshed. And then the days coming up to the Sabbath are all about looking forward to this day that you have. It completely reforms your week when you do practice the Sabbath diligently. And this is a fun fact, and I'm not drawing any connections with this. I'm not trying to sell you on anything. It's just a fun fact. You may have heard that there's a religious group called the Seventh-day Adventists. And this is just facts, okay? They take Sabbath very, very seriously as part of their religious tradition. And they are one of the happiest, they were registered as one of the happiest people groups in America. And furthermore, they found out that a Seventh-day Adventist lives on average 10 years longer than the average American. You can make of that what you will. But what I would like us to do is, when we go home today, and you forget everything I've said, I want you to sit at the table, and I want you to consider, what does my Sabbath look like? How am I practicing the Sabbath? Oh no, a better question, sorry. How am I making good use of the gift that has been given to me? God had my rest day, my Sabbath, in mind at the foundation of the world. How can I make good use of that gift? When's the best day for you to Sabbath? If it can't be Sunday, when? There's 7 days, pick one. When's best way to Sabbath? What is work for you? What is rest? You know, how can I make good use of that gift? I'm going to invite the band up, and I'm going to pray for us. Thank you, Lord, that you are good, that you are faithful, that you are merciful, and you are patient with us when we don't make the best of the gifts that you've given us. Thank you that you desire to be in union with us, and that you enjoy us coming and resting in your presence and in your love. Thank you, there's so many ways that you've loved us and blessed us, and things that you've offered us that, Lord, we don't even understand. And thank you that you're patient with us when we get it wrong, we don't understand, and we don't take time to rest in you. And would you prompt us, Lord, would you encourage us, would you nudge us to take this gift more seriously? Amen. Amen.